what he considered to be his rivals. With a bellow, he charged into the midst of the enemies, knocking one warrior off his feet in the process. The others were on him in an instant, their blows aiming for weak points and joints. Dillon took on all challengers, and his shield mastery skill helped him redirect attacks as he shifted his stance and took the brunt of the damage on his dual shields. It wasn't to last, though. With three opponents and a fourth joining soon, he was beginning to take real damage. Tiona joined the fight, but her attempts to avoid the warriors and cut down the shaman were thwarted quickly as two wolfmen broke off their attack on Dillon to protect their charge. Her ability was apparent in her movement. She was skillfully avoiding attacks and leaving shallow wounds in her foe. She barked,
"Cleave!"
and the shallow swipe of her longsword turned into a deadly arc of metal that bit deeply into her adversary. A spray of arterial blood covered her just before a fireball landed on her chest and exploded. She flipped backward from the concussive explosion, stunned into stillness as she landed on the packed dirt. A ball of water landed on her next, soothing the burns and restoring some of her lost health. Another landed on her, and she was able to shake off the impact and rejoin combat. Joe sent a few balls of water at Dillon, healing the bruises and reinforcing bones that were about to break from the strain of repeated blows. Casting healing spells was drawing attention back to him, and the wolfmen started attempting to get around the other combatants to reach him. Guess dropped from a branch, swinging her daggers down to take out the shaman in a single blow. Just before her attack landed, the warrior in charge of protecting the frail magic user spun around and slashed out. Guess was sent flying backward, but she left one of her daggers in the warrior's arm. His sword arm went limp as Guess crashed to the ground, spitting up a mouthful of blood. Tiona took advantage of the wounded beast's sudden weakness to deal a finishing blow, and the warrior's head slid to the ground. One of the warriors broke off his siege on Dillon, twirling and running at Joe. Joe didn't see him until the last moment, having sent a healing spell at Guess. Joe turned his head just as the cleaver slammed into his neck, and the warrior was blinded by the blood that sprayed over him. Joe slid to the ground, just as the warrior charged back to attack Dillon from behind. The shaman was coaxing another ball of fire to his palm, and as he raised it to throw it at Tiona again, an arrow punched through the fire and the shaman's hand. A look of horror flashed across the shaman's face before the spell detonated. Charred beyond recognition, the shaman swayed and slumped to the ground.
"I'm back! Sorry I'm late!"
Chad called as he fired another shot from his bow.
"Better late than never,"
Tiona ground out as she attacked one of the warriors harrying Dillon.
"They got Joe."
"Damn!"
A swift kick to the back of his knee dropped Dillon to the ground, unable to maintain his position. Tiona killed one of the fighters as the other swung at the fallen bulwark. He was stopped short as a spike appeared and skewered him. The wolfman looked down, saw the hole in his body, and looked back toward Joe. The ritualist was standing, channeling the spike with one hand as he made a rude gesture with the other. The spike vanished, as did the light in his foe's eyes. Joe stepped forward, rubbing his neck as he healed the others.
"That sucked," he said in a raspy voice.
He coughed wetly.
"I sound like I've been smoking for a decade."
Tiona just stared at him.
"How are you alive? Your head was basically cut off."
"Robes, and no matter what we say, this is a game," Joe replied carefully as his voice returned to mostly normal. "These robes are a magic item. If something just about kills me, it sets me back to one health. Same thing as when the Silver Wolf ambushed us, remember?"
Joe didn't feel like explaining the limitations of the robes. No need to give away all of his trump cards at once. "I want one," Guess piped up. This got a laugh from the group.
"It actually sucks pretty bad," Joe wheezed, spitting out some blood. "Yeah, there is the great perk of not dying, but my head was basically severed." Do you know what it's like to feel that, survive, and then have it reattach as I heal? It's...
There was silence for a moment. Dylan spoke softly then.
How do you do it? It nearly broke me when I was...
Joe thought for a second.
It must be the pod balancing out my mind as the trauma ends. Thanks to Tiona, I finally understand how it is doing it, but...
Joe stopped speaking as he remembered that he wasn't in a pod. Technically. The game was able to impact him in a more... direct fashion. A notification blinking gold pulled him away from his line of thought. As soon as it had his attention, it displayed its words as Joe was lifted from the ground on a surge of golden wind. Quest complete. Disarming the warriors. Experience 1,000. Return to the quest assigner for monetary rewards or work at the secondary objective for additional rewards. Quest updated. Witch hunt 1 of 5. Skill increased. Mana manipulation novice 5. Heal, novice 9. Experience, 90. You have reached level 6. You have gained 1 point in intelligence, wisdom, and perception. You have 5 characteristic points to distribute and 16 unused skill points. Joe settled down onto the ground, a wide grin on his face.
Oh, heck yes. I feel good. Guys. Guys, I have 5 characteristic points to use. I'm about to be able to walk at a normal human pace.
He started reaching for his status window to add in the points, but Tiona caught his hand and stopped him.
Wait!
She was squinting at him uncertainly.
Are you saying you're about to cross a threshold?
A threshold?
If you mean getting my stats to a basic human level, 10 points... Then yes. Joe's smile was slipping a bit as she shook her head.
Wait until you are in a safe area,
she unceremoniously ordered.
You are almost assuredly going to pass out, and it is going to really suck for you. Also, take some time to read the guild wiki. As long as you are in-game, it is available to you, and you keep not knowing important things.
Are you being serious?
Joe's certainty wavered.
Come on, I've been waiting for this.
I am.
She smiled at him, though.
Feel free to bring your stats up to 9, though. Just don't go to 10.
Fair enough.
Joe dramatically frowned, then rolled his eyes. A few more hours wouldn't bother him much. Looking at the stats that were just... abysmal, he found that with the 5 points he could bring 2 of his 3 physical stats to 10, but 1 would not be able to make it. Strength, dexterity, or constitution. His first instinct was to bring strength and constitution up, but he needed to be practical. As he started to get higher levels of spells and rituals, he was sure that dexterity would come into play. Maybe, if he could make hand motions faster or more accurately, could he cast spells quicker? He was almost sure of it, so he put 1 point into dexterity and 2 into strength. The remaining 2 would need to wait until he got home, apparently. They barreled along the path, eager to make progress in their remaining quest. Joe found it a bit easier to keep up, but in reality, a 2% increase was not enough to show a significant change. The day was drifting towards afternoon at this point, and if they wanted to finish the final quest, they needed to give up on stealth and subtlety. Their full frontal charge may have been a mistake, because as they rounded a trail, they came upon what appeared to be a sacrificial altar. The altar itself wasn't the issue. The fact that it was surrounded by a small swarm of warriors and a few shamans, all of whom turned their heads to observe the interruption as the party came crashing into the open, was a bit troubling. For a moment, there was silence as the 2 sides simply looked at each other in shock. The stalemate was broken by a plaintive cry.
For the love of all that is good, help! They're killing us!
A woman bound to the altar was at just the right angle to see the arrivals. Joe felt sick as the wolfmen remembered what they were doing. Without any further pause, the main shaman grimaced and plunged his dagger into the bound woman's heart. A deep throbbing filled the air, and Joe began to feel a buildup of power. The hair on his arms was tingling, standing on end as the abundance of mana created physical after-effects. The shaman beckoned, and a warrior grabbed the next bound human and started dragging him to the altar.
Timed quest alert. Blood for the beast god. You have stumbled upon an altar that wolfmen are using to commit dark deeds. After losing the better part of their territory to human invaders, the wolfmen are attempting to assert their dominance in a horrific way. Stop the wolfmen before they are able to complete their ritualistic sacrifices. Sacrifices, 4 out of 10. Rewards, variable. Alternatively, you can choose not to help the humans. If you do nothing, you will gain the option to change your race to Wolfman if the human kingdom falls. You will also gain the title Racial Traitor, allowing you to kill humans for experience. Betraying and attacking your teammates will increase your starting favor with the Wolfmen by +1,000.
I'm going to assume right now that none of you are stupid enough to betray us and that you want to save those people.
Tiona snarled as she slapped the notification out of her view.
Battle formation. Guess, take out any targets of opportunity. Joe, healing only unless it is an emergency. Chad, try and mess with any spells coming our way. Dylan, let's put that new class to the test.
Dylan's only response was to slam his fists together and roar at the warriors standing between him and the people they needed to save. Chapter 27. The altar was raised a few feet off the ground, but wasn't huge or imposing like Joe would have expected from a sacrificial altar. Of course, in his mind, a sacrificial altar should be a huge Mayan structure that thousands of people gathered around for religious purposes. This was just a stone bed that was currently coated in flowing blood. Human blood. Joe shook his head to clear his thoughts just as the first few warriors rushed at them. Dylan took center stage, holding off two of the four warriors with ease, while Tiona and Guess each stepped in to hold off another. The main shaman began chanting, and just as he reached a crescendo, his knife began to descend. An arrow bounced off the blade, turning it and knocking the dagger from his hand just before impact. The shaman ended up punching the bound man in the chest decently hard, but a few seconds of breathlessness was a welcome result for the human. The shaman looked over to see Chad making rude gestures before loosing another arrow at him. Not reacting in the slightest, the shaman watched as the arrow bounced off a translucent shield that the force of the bolt revealed. A small lightning bolt jumped from the altar to the shaman as the spell that he had been attempting to cast created backlash, but he simply tilted his head and cracked his neck before sauntering over to retrieve his dagger. The other shaman looking on seemed to be holding their breath until he returned, shuddering with glee when the chanting began again.
"Ha! Filthy mongrels!" Dylan shouted at the warriors he was holding off.
He bashed one on the snout as he parried a blow from the other.
"I got my shield mastery to beginner 3 already! Your attacks mean nothing!"
The wolfman that had been struck reeled backward, grabbing his nose as it streamed blood. He snarled animalistically and started hacking at Dylan with brutal overhand chops as the other tried to slip around Dylan's defense with a more tactical approach. The brutal chops were easily predicted, even if they were powerful, and not one of them slipped by.
"You should probably call this mutt's older brother,"
Dylan called in to no one in particular.
"It seems his little sister stole his weapon and armor and is playing dress-up."
Foam appeared around the warrior's mouth as his eyes lost all sanity. He tossed aside his sword and started slamming his claws into the obstacle in his way, trying to tear Dylan apart with his bare hands. When he was easily blocked, he tried to grab the shield and pull the bulwark off balance, failing miserably. He dropped to the ground, a spike of shadow having stolen his life before he noticed the damage accumulating.
"Joe!"
Tiona called angrily as she whirled around her opponent and eviscerated him.
"What did I tell you not to do?"
"Oh, come on!"
Joe laughed as he tossed a healing spell at Dylan.
That was a perfect opportunity. I had to take it.
Tiona didn't say anything else, but her silence only ensured that the conversation would be happening at a later date. Joe looked at the altar and heard the chanting once again reaching a peak. As he noticed an arrow get deflected by a shield a subordinate shaman was maintaining, Joe had an idea and grimaced. As the knife came down and slammed into the captive's chest, Joe channeled a ranged healing spell. A flow of water reached the attempted sacrifice and settled into a laminar stream. The shaman pulled the knife out of the human, already motioning for another sacrifice when the bound man coughed. The shaman looked shocked, even more so when the feedback from his failure to complete a sacrifice at the correct time hit him, finally noticing the stream of water connecting the humans together. He shrieked, his ears flattening against his head as he snarled at Joe. Seemingly reaching a conclusion, he waved at two of the lesser shamans. They left the area around the altar, joining the fight against the adventurers. At this point, Guess had been injured fairly badly, but was surviving thanks to a hastily wrapped bandage. All but the last warrior facing Dylan had been felled, though there were other warriors that were currently assisting the shaman. These warriors were motioned to join the battle as well, and Joe winced as he noted how heavily equipped they were. These were certainly the elite of the Wolfman race. Now facing seven enemies, the party closed together again. Joe stopped healing the sacrifice, knowing that the magical Wolfman only stabbed at the peak of his chant. He healed Guest to the maximum amount, unable to heal the fractured bones in her hip, noting that his mana was down to a quarter as exhaustion began settling on him. Joe grimaced as he thought about Tiona's orders. He should have listened. Over half of his mana had been used for that channeled spike. It was refilling fairly quickly thanks to his huge regeneration, but the battle was nowhere near over. In fact, it looked like the battle was just getting started. The largest warrior, easily the highest-level elite, approached at a jog. His movements were so fluid that when he was dodging, it almost looked like Chad's arrows were poorly aimed. The elite half-turned as he got close and swung his cleaver almost casually at Dylan. The bulwark caught the blow with a grunt, actually being forced back a few feet as his armor vibrated under the powerful blow. A fireball hit the ground at their feet, causing blisters to instantly form on any exposed skin as the flames washed over the group. Joe quickly countered the blaze with his healing water spells, but frowned as they only healed half the amount they normally did. It seemed that the magical flames were going to need a more concentrated healing effect than he was currently creating. Not good. The elite was battering Dylan around like a practice dummy, and the other three were closing in quickly. Joe looked around for a solution to the issue and saw that Guest was running into the forest. He almost called out, but stopped himself at the last moment. If she was trying to circle around, he didn't want to ruin the element of surprise for her. Tiona shouted a war cry, boosting their stamina and strength by a small amount, and launched herself at the incoming warriors. Her sword was flashing back and forth, her skill allowing her to hold off the two wolfmen on her own. She wasn't able to strike devastating blows, but she and they were beginning to bleed from multiple cuts. Fortunately for her, she had a healer in her corner. As she wore them down, she was able to continue battling unabated. She needed to stay close to the warriors, because any time she broke away to gain distance, a fireball exploded against her. Chad was doing his best to break whatever magical shielding the shamans were using, but no matter what angle he tried, his arrows continued to bounce off the shield surrounding the two of them.
Quest updated. Blood for the Beast God. Sacrifices. 5 out of 10.
Joe's head jerked to the side as he got the notification. He watched as the unsmiling shaman tossed aside a corpse and motioned at one of the few remaining members of its race to bring forward another human. Joe shouted in fury and started swinging his scepter at the elite attacking Dylan. Sadly, he was unable to damage the massive warrior with his pathetic attacks. A backhanded blow sent him reeling and coughing out blood. He instantly healed himself and tried to think of a way to be more helpful. Breathing deeply, he stared at the warrior Tiona was fighting and prepared himself. Carefully positioning his hand, he made the required gestures and created a spike under the warrior's foot just as he stepped backward. Expecting solid ground, the warrior's ankle turned and he fell with a startled yelp. Tiona didn't miss the opportunity and sliced open the wolfman's neck with a flick of her wrist. She tumbled to the side as a fireball whizzed by her head, and after regaining her footing, she began fighting the other warrior one-on-one. Now that she was able to focus on just one battle, the wolfman started to lose badly. In just a few moments, he fell as well, surprise etched across his beastly face.
"Tiona!"
Dylan shouted as a bright blue fireball cast jointly by the two attacking shamans burned through the air toward her.
"Stand behind me!"
His legs seemed to move almost of their own accord, and he blurred as he sprinted at triple speed to get between her and the fireball. Dylan's arms slammed together, and he jammed the completed shield into the ground. The fireball detonated against the man, and screams filled the air as the metal he was covered in became superheated. The blast was otherwise entirely negated thanks to his position, but his armor was glowing as red as it had when it was being forged. Dylan continued to yell in pain as the armor applied a damage over time effect to his body. Joe threw a ball of water at him in an attempt to heal and cool him, but it was a poor decision. The water almost instantly turned to steam, scalding Dylan's face through his visor and pulling another pained cry from the man. Another ball of fire was being formed between the two shamans as they chanted together, but it seemed that Guess decided to return to the battle in the nick of time. She sprinted up to them as their brows furrowed from concentration and plunged her daggers into the mana shield covering them. Again and again she stabbed as the fireball began to roil. With a sound like glass shattering, the shield broke and her daggers plunged into unprotected kidneys. Freezing as the pain and shock overcame him, the shaman lost control of his portion of the spell. Guess only had a second's warning, but managed to squeeze herself behind his rigid body. The fireball exploded wildly, finishing off the damaged shaman and critically wounding the other. An arrow was finally able to sink into the downed shaman, ending his existence. Chad shouted in pure exultation as he watched his opponent expire from his feathered shaft.
Quest updated. Witch Hunt. 3 out of 5. Quest updated. Blood for the Beast God. Sacrifices. 6 out of 10.
Drat it!
Tiona shouted furiously.
We're losing people over there! Let's cut this magically compensating pup down to size and end this!
She and a pained Dylan began working together better than ever, her attacks going unanswered as Dylan blocked every slash the elite could muster. She was able to circle around the huge beast, swinging low as Dylan launched forward. The combination sent the warrior flying, knocking the wind out of him as he landed. Tiona swung her sword back, but before she could finish him, a spike shot into the gap under his helmet and into his brain. Joe had the grace to look sheepish as both Dylan and Tiona made a what-the-heck gesture.
"Sorry, I'm not trying to steal your kills. He was going to gut you as your swing came down."
He pointed at a long dagger the elite was gripping in his hand, the final resort of the desperate.
"I'll let it go, this time," Dylan said in a mockingly angry tone. "That all of them?"
"Looks like it,"
Tiona called darkly.
"Let's carve these shamans a new spell hole."
Quest updated. Blood for the Beast God. Sacrifices. 7 out of 10.
"Son of a..."
Joe stopped himself, taking a deep breath.
"He sped up."
"Joe? Buddy? Make with the healing? Pretty please?"
Dylan dropped to one knee, panting heavily as he struggled to keep his tunnel vision from turning into full-blown unconsciousness.
"Oh, right. Sorry, my charred friend."
Joe pressed his hand against Dylan, and water started pouring over him. By this point, the armor had lost most of its residual heat, and the healing properly took effect. Since the damage under his armor was the result of superheated metal, not the magical flames, technically, There was no issue restoring him to full health. Joe glanced at his mana, noting that it was now just barely over an eighth full. The group moved toward the altar, determined to stop the horror taking place. The main shaman gave them a derisive sneer, motioning the remaining shaman forward as his chanting increased speed yet again. The party jogged forward, but the shaman erected a dome of power around the small area. Moments after creating the shield, they began sweating and trembling. Obviously, the cost of creating and maintaining the barrier was high, and their mana was likely also being sapped to fuel the dark ritual being performed.
"Break through it,"
Tiona ordered, emphasizing her words with action. Her action being chopping specifically at the shaman's face. Though he flinched as the blow descended, her blade stopped dead an inch from impact. She was undeterred, and took this chance to work out some anger. Her sword crashed down, over and over, as the shaman paled further. As the rest of the team joined, the main shaman stabbed another human. Quest updated. Blood for the Beast God. Sacrifices 8 out of 10. The main shaman hurriedly pulled two bound humans right next to the altar and tossed the unlucky one onto it. He started his chant again, much faster this time. Sparks were flying as the team attacked the barrier as fast as possible. The chant reached a crescendo, and the knife plunged down yet again. Quest updated. Blood for the Beast God. Sacrifices 9 out of 10.
No!
Dylan roared, slamming bodily into the barrier. Tiona screamed as her blade clashed with the magic, which finally gave way. The shield shattered with a thunderous boom. The two shamans sustaining the energy field fell into deep unconsciousness, their eyes rolling back into their head, but for Joe's team, it was much worse. The energy of the shield exploded outward, tossing the humans back. A portion of the damage they had done to the barrier affected them as true damage, ignoring all protections, while a larger part of their delivered force slammed into them as pure kinetic energy. Joe was surprised to see the others tossed away, seemingly damaged to an extreme. He felt only a tiny impact, as he had been unable to participate directly in the destruction of the barrier. The chanting was becoming louder, so Joe decided that healing needed to wait. Now was the time for destruction. He narrowed his eyes and ran forward as quickly as his wasted legs would allow. He was still 7 feet away when the dagger rose into the air in preparation of being used, so Joe began forcing his remaining mana into a shadow spike. Inky darkness slammed into the stomach of the wolfman, but he managed to continue his chant, though it was now sounding more like a wheeze. As the dagger began to descend, Joe had only one option remaining to him. Narrowing his eyes and hoping for the best, he jumped at the wolfman. As his muscles bunched up, he felt a supreme confidence fill him. His body knew exactly how to jump to create the best effect. Joe launched into the air, spinning as the shaman grew larger and larger in his vision. He drew back his scepter, planning to slam it into the animalistic chest presented to him, but he had misjudged his trajectory. Instead of jumping past the wolfman, Joe's momentum carried him directly into the shaman. Joe twisted like a cat, trying his best to land on his feet, but instead belly-flopped against his intended target. He tackled the shaman to the ground, Joe's momentum too great for the wolfman to counteract. Looking at the creature he was pinning to the ground, Joe was surprised that he wasn't being savagely mauled by the cruel beast. He glanced down, realizing that the titanium taglock on his scepter was jammed directly into the shaman's heart. Joe staggered to his feet as he tried to see the results of his actions, but turning his head made him lose balance and fall to his knees. Both his mana and stamina bar were completely depleted, and the sudden movement caused him to puke all over the fallen wolfman. Realizing how far he was from his starting point, Joe was shocked at the knowledge that he had just jumped nearly 10 feet directly forward from a very slow movement speed. Was his jump skill really that overpowered? Joe forced himself to stand on his unsteady legs,
walking over and tugging at the rope binding the sacrificial human's hands and feet. The man thanked him brokenly, and for the next few minutes simply sat and cried over the bodies of his comrades. Joe looked over to see his team getting to their feet. Before coming up to the altar, they took a moment to impale the remaining wolfmen who had fallen into a stupor. His team looked to him and nodded. Joe returned the nod, finally taking the time to acknowledge the notifications awaiting him.
Quest updated. Witch hunt, 5 out of 5. Experience, 2,000. Return to the quest giver for monetary rewards, or continue trying for the available bonus if Wolfman magical research is reclaimed or destroyed. Quest updated. Blood for the Beast God. Sacrifices, 10 out of 10. You have failed the quest. Error. You have completed the quest. Error.
The notification window vanished with a sound like breaking glass, reappearing after a nerve-wracking moment.
How very interesting. You have simultaneously completed and failed your quest. To your credit, you fought valiantly against your foes and will not be labeled a race traitor. There is only one small issue. You completed the sacrificial ritual by killing the wolfman shaman via stabbing him through the heart at the correct moment during this ritual. What is your luck stat? You really might want to look into that. Normally, this situation would result in automatic quest failure and a wave of dark beasts sent to attack your city at night. You seem to be a special case, though, so there is an added option, Mr. Error Generator. As a ritualist and champion of a different deity than the one the ritual was designed for, you have met the requirements needed to wrest control of not only the activating ritual, but the altar as well. You may have a single chance to take control based on your knowledge of rituals. You have 5 minutes to attempt to do so. Reward. Control of altar. Wave of dark creatures will attack wolfmen population. Failure. Human city Ardania will have a powerful wave of beasts attack them through the night, and you will make me bored. This is the second time you have elevated an issue to me, so I will be paying a bit more attention to you. Also, boom, you're cursed. New title gained. Baldy. Effect. Your head is permanently bald. You cannot change this fact. This title is mandatory. Wigs will burst into flame if placed on your head. Wearing a hat will give you a temporary -1 to charisma. Your head reflects light, -20% ability to hide when in sunlight. Some settings have been permanently changed.
Chapter 28.
Joe, what's going on?
Dylan called out as he approached the altar.
Also, what happened to you? Your hair is falling out.
No time for that.
Already feeling the mana in the air beginning to thicken, Joe swallowed his frustration and opened his character sheet.
The quest changed. I have one chance to stop this ritual from taking effect, or the city is going to be attacked by extra strong monsters tonight.
With a sad farewell to his accumulated skill points, Joe dumped 12 of the 16 painstakingly gained points into his ritual skill.
Skill increased. Ritual magic. Apprentice 3. Congratulations. Your hard work and dedication to perfecting your craft has allowed you to become more powerful. Based on your usage of the ritual skill to this point, you gain an addition to your abilities. Ritual magic now grants a 10% bonus to your chances of success when you are attempting to optimize, change, or create ritual formulas. Get out there and change the world for the better. Or reduce an opponent into a puddle. Or magic a rock into solid gold. The only limiting factor is you. And what a limit that is. Intelligence and wisdom +1.
Allowing 3 minutes of his allotted time to pass before he started his attempt, Joe tried to calm his mind and prepare himself. His mana had fully regenerated at the 2-minute mark, but he was still nervous that he might make things worse. With a deep breath, he approached the altar and placed his hands on the swirling light. In his mind, a large ritual diagram appeared. It took a few seconds for him to grasp all the elements of what he was seeing as the ritual spun slowly. Rituals could move? This was too far out of his experience. He almost panicked, but then he saw a few symbols that he recognized from the study of his book. From there, he was able to puzzle out the context and meaning of most of the remaining symbols. Overall, it truly wasn't an overly complicated diagram. It was simply well-made and massively powerful. Essentially, it took in the blood, experience points, stamina, and mana of the sacrifices and donated them as power to whatever deity controlled the altar. Looking over the diagram, it was easy to see how worn and faded it was, meaning that this ritual had been here for a very long time. If he was able to change it, the likelihood of another party being able to undo his actions was exceedingly low. Joe smiled at the thought. In the kingdom, mages had long ago declared ritual magic a useless skill. It was time to prove all of them wrong. The first symbol that changed was in the target field. It currently held the symbol of Ardania. Joe was unsure at first how he was supposed to change this mark, but then his perception highlighted a symbol that all of the wolfmen had on their clothes or armor. He nodded to himself and recreated the symbol in the ritual. He allowed his own mana to seep into the pattern, reinforcing the thinning lines of the aging ritual. The slow and jerky rotation of the spell circles smoothed, speeding up and spinning at a faster rate. Lastly, Joe looked down at his clothing and overwrote the symbol of what he assumed was the beast god with the sigil on his robe. Now this altar would be devoted to the hidden god. Simple changes, but hopefully all that was needed. Joe looked over the changes one last time before stepping back and hoping the entire thing wouldn't explode. It didn't detonate, but it did begin shaking. Everyone in the area hastily retreated just before the altar was sucked into the ground. There was an awkward pause as his team gave him the stink eye, but to his relief, the altar quickly reappeared from the ground in a new configuration. Instead of a bed of stone coated in generations of muck, a pristine slab of marble rose from the ground. The main features were similar, but instead of a bed, the altar now had the overall appearance of a large stone book.
Quest complete. Blood for the Beast God. After defeating the priests and warriors of an opposed race in pitched combat, you sullied their holy site and dedicated it to another deity. Remaining anonymous should be its own reward, but you greedy travelers probably want more than life-saving anonymity. Experience, 1,100. Base, 1,000, plus 100 for each human saved. One class item box guaranteed to contain an item with a minimum rarity of rare. Minus 10,000 reputation with the Wolfman race for destroying their altar of holy rituals. Current reputation, Blood Feud. Since there were no surviving Wolfmen in the area, your reputation with the Wolfman population will be reset unless they learn the cause of their people's loss. Lucky you. Brutality seems to be your key to success. You know what? Luck plus one. Why not? Current reputation with the Wolfmen. Neutral. Fractured title gained. I choose to be. This title grants a 10% boost to any title it is combined with. Quest alert. Reclamation of the Lost. Congratulations. You have completed not only the original quest, but gained a hidden quest. As a champion of a god, you have the ability to capture altars and holy sites, rededicating them to your deity. While this will make your own power and favor grow with your god, be warned that followers of differing gods will see you as an enemy if they find out you are attempting to take their holy area away. capture any altar, temple, statue, holy site, place of power, or effigy to gain favor and power from and for your deity. Rewards. Variable. A small box appeared in front of each member of his team. They all eagerly grabbed their reward and stored it away for later usage. Chad was looking around nervously. Just because they had cleared a small area of wolfmen, there was no guarantee that more would not soon stumble upon them.
"Whoa!"
Dylan hooted excitedly.
"I didn't die! I didn't even get too seriously injured! I love this class in armor!"
"I knew you were the right choice for a meat shield, tank roll," Chad called over, getting a laugh from Tiona and Guess. "Let's get out of here."
The group started to walk away, stopping when they noticed that Joe was not walking with them. Tiona's voice took on a hard edge as she noticed him standing at the altar.
"Joe, get moving. We are going to need to run if we want to make it back before nightfall."
"I need to write down this ritual," Joe distractedly called back as he finished pulling paper and quills out of his pocket.
"Why?"
"It is insanely powerful. If I can modify it so that it doesn't require blood sacrifices, we could use this to..." Joe was cut off by Dylan snorting at him.
"She means, why are you taking it down by hand? Seriously, man, read through the manual and guild wiki when we get back. Take a screenshot of that thing and work on it at home."
Dylan's words made Joe blush heavily. He hadn't considered that. Actually, he hadn't even known it was an option.
"Treat it like reality, Joe," Joe grumbled in a mocking tone as he made a screenshot of the ritual. "Make sure you know all the game functions so you can cheat reality, Joe."
"Are you really complaining that you can take a picture instead of using an hour to make a drawing in hostile territory?"
Tiona incredulously teased him. Joe muttered some unintelligible words before turning to walk away. He took half a step before stopping, frowning as something tickled at his senses. He cocked his head and looked at the altar. As the others complained, he walked back, reached under it, and found a small indentation. His fingers touched the space and a needle stuck into his hand, drawing blood. He grunted in shock as a notification appeared in his vision. "Skill increased. Hidden sense. Novice 2. You are finally letting your instincts guide you. Too bad they are so underdeveloped you've missed a lot of good items. Gain higher levels in this skill to increase how powerfully hidden information and items call out to you. Congratulations, you are the first traveler to take control of a fast travel point. Out of your whole species, you are the first to look for anything not overtly obvious. What does that say about your people's attention span? Nothing good. These points can be found at most important landmarks across Eternia. Since you are the first person to capture this point, you may choose to take control of it. Take control? Yes or no?" Joe chose yes, and his eyes widened as he read over the new notification. "Congratulations. As the owner of a fast travel point, you can set a toll for its usage. This might be the only thing in your life that you can really control, but let's not think about that too hard. Don't let the existential dread set in. You can choose to take 10% of the user's mana or stamina and donate it to your deity, or require a monetary transaction which will be deposited to your bank account. What would you like to do?" Joe thought about it for a long moment, but forced his inner greedy squirrel to go back to sleep. He chose to make the donation go toward Tatum. Now anyone who got to use this would lose whatever was more abundant to their class. Mages would lose mana, others would lose stamina. Joe smiled as a white circle appeared around the area. In his vision, it was a beacon shining into the sky, but the others were looking at him with annoyance, obviously not seeing the light.
"Joe, let's go already!" Chad called impatiently.
"Hey guys, come here."
Joe couldn't stop a smile from making his face twitch.
"I need to,
show you something.
He snorted from the effort needed to stop his laughter. There were a few muttered curses, but the others decided to humor him. When everyone was in the circle, Joe chuckled and used his new rights as a travel point owner to give them access. They flinched as the beacon of light seemed to appear around them and went wide-eyed when they were asked if they wanted to fast travel back to the only available location, Ardania.
Quest updated. Earn a god's favor. You have progressed far on the second step of this quest. Keep working hard. Progress, 83%.
A smile almost split Joe's face as he saluted the team and accepted the transport. He blinked and appeared in Ardania. Within moments, he was surrounded by the rest of his team. Chapter 29. Back in his room, Joe snorted as he remembered the walk back to the guild. He had brushed off the team's questions, explaining that it was a cleric thing. Since they had been at an altar, the others had no choice but to accept his word as factual, though they hadn't done it gracefully. He had promised to open the point to Aten and give him permissions that would allow select guild members to use the travel point. This would let Joe keep donations to Tatum flowing and keep his standing in the guild fairly high even if he were off doing something different for a while. As much as Joe wanted to tell them what they wanted to know, there was no possible way that he was going to give up the information on how to activate the travel points. Being able to move huge distances was a staple of any game for the last few decades, and he knew that if word got out, he would have far too much competition for his burgeoning idea for a travel company. When he had gained enough fast travel points to make a wide network, he would open them to the public and rake in the rewards. Maybe he would retire on a mountaintop in a few decades. Joe now had a longish-term goal, and he hoped no one else would beat him to completion. They had stopped to turn in the daily quests, so each of them were now 100 gold richer. The others were happy with the outcome, but Joe really wanted to know what the rewards would have been if they had been able to complete the optional portions of the quest. The real reward Joe was interested in was the class item box he was staring at. It contained a guaranteed rare item, and Joe's hands were sweaty as he reached his trembling hand toward the clasp keeping it closed. It swung open, revealing a small black book. Joe began beaming as he picked it up and inspected it.
Reward item. Perception check is automatic success. Item identified. Beginner's Encyclopedia Circulus. Forbidden Rare. This is a book containing dark rituals used to destroy, demolish, or otherwise impede your enemies. The knowledge contained has been forbidden by the Mage's College, and all copies existing during the Purge were destroyed. While once this book would have been considered uncommon, its rarity has been adjusted due to external forces. Caution. Creating the rituals contained in this book while in the presence of a licensed mage will result in a sharp reputation loss with the college. Activating them discreetly will not, as most effects are similar to various spells. You really shouldn't worry about that, though. Maybe you should declare war on the mages. It'd be fun.
Looking at the book, Joe inspected it with his occultist job. The book glowed mostly golden, showing that while there was room for optimization, most of the rituals contained within were accurate. Opening the small book, he was excited and a bit disturbed by the effects of the rituals inside. There were only 5 complete rituals drawn out, but there were also multiple symbols, shapes, documentation of effects, spell forms, and components most commonly used in rituals. In essence, it was an encyclopedia which allowed you to make your own rituals with far greater ease. Right now, there was only one attack ritual he had a chance of completing. The others required the next tier of monster cores, and he simply had no idea if he could get his hands on one or what it would cost to do so. Ritual magic excelled as utility magic, long-term with intricate effects. These were offensive rituals, yes, but they were obviously designed as last-resort doomsday devices, not commonplace weapons. Looking over the only completed attack ritual he could use, and they were definitely attack rituals, Joe had to wince as he read the description of its effects.
Grave Digger's Requiem. This ritual targets a single creature, and upon activation, emits a sonic field around the victim. This field is attuned to the frequency of earth and stone, and will soften the ground in a 3-foot radius around them. All earth in the affected area will act like quicksand, dragging them deep into the ground. Typically, the target will vanish without a trace, making this a preferred ritual for the assassination of important figures. Component cost. Copper tuning fork capable of reaching between 5 and 9 hertz. Any tuning fork of uncommon quality or above. Blood or hair of target. Grave dirt. Sand shark's tooth. Emerald. Flawed or better. 80% of a full low-grade monster core. And 1,000 mana.
After reading the requirements, Joe felt that he could get most of the listed items without too much issue. He wasn't positive, but it was likely a sand shark was a monster, which meant that it would be harvested for components. He figured the alchemist would have this item, but he wasn't sure where to get a tuning fork. Was there an instrument store around here? What else would he need? 80% of a core was 400 points, which meant it should cost him roughly 80? He did another quick calculation in his head. The mana requirement should be feasible, and it would cost him 445 mana. Exactly one more point of mana than he currently had. He rolled his eyes. His regeneration would ensure that he gained the needed point of mana before it became an issue, but it still irked him for some reason. Wait. He was forgetting his mana manipulation and coalescence skills. With a bonus 8% efficiency, he had more than enough mana. He could stop cursing Terra now. An evil chuckle rocked him as he allowed himself a short vision of grandeur. Joe would stand on top of the world one day and make the earth swallow dragons for him. Bwah-ah! Cough! Joe choked for some reason, making himself cough a few times. He took a sip of water, hugged his new book, and went to sleep. At least, that was his plan. As his eyes closed, Joe remembered that he had 2 characteristic points to spend. His eyes flew open, bloodshot and excited. He sat up, pulling open his status sheet and staring at the 2 stats about to cross the threshold into normal territory. With hands almost trembling from excitement, he allocated 1 point into both dexterity and constitution. Accepting the changes, he waited to notice the difference.
Minimum threshold for normalcy achieved. Body modification starting in 3, 2, 1.
Ow. Ow. Ow! Ambient mana was sucked from the environment, fueling the rapid growth of his body. Joe winced as his nerves tingled, making his body twitch. The process sped up, and soon he was thrashing on his bed as if having a seizure. As this slowed down, Joe began to feel heavy. His body slowly sank into the bed, and he began to cough. Not cute little, oh dear me, there seems to be a hint of pollen in the air coughs. These were a version more along the lines of, I've been smoking for 30 years and my lungs seem to be full of tar. It was a good analogy, because thick black fluid came out of his mouth with each noisy hack. Landing mostly on the floor, the substance seemed to boil into nothingness and left Joe feeling as though he were imagining things. When all of the shaking, coughing, and sputtering were complete, Joe stood up and tried to get a feel for the changes that had occurred. It was strange. He felt heavy and slow while simultaneously being able to control his movements to a higher degree. Walking over to the small mirror provided with his room, Joe looked at himself and nearly started dancing. He didn't look like a walking corpse anymore. He had healthy flesh and color for the first time since appearing in this world.
His body had filled out, and while he didn't exactly have a set of thick corded muscles, he did have muscle tone on his lean figure. As if he had never left his room, but also ate exactly the amount of food he was supposed to. He pulled open his status screen. Name: Joe Baldy. Class: Cleric. Actual: Ritualist. Profession: Scholar. Actual: Occultist. Level: 6. Experience: 17,978. Experience to next level: 3,022. Hit points: 50 out of 50. Modifier: 50 plus 10 per point of constitution over 10. Mana: 462.5 over 462.5. Modifier: base 625, 12.5 per point of intelligence, plus 100% from deity. Mana regen: 6.82 per second. Modifier: 0.25 per point of wisdom. Stamina: 50 out of 50. Modifier: 50 plus 0 plus 0. Characteristic: raw score. Modifier: strength: 9. Modifier: 0.09. Dexterity: 10. Modifier: 1.10. Constitution: 10. Modifier: 1.10. Intelligence: 25. Modifier: 1.25. Wisdom: 27. Modifier: 1.27. Charisma: 14. Modifier: 1.14. Perception: 23. Modifier: 1.23. Luck: 14. Modifier: 1.14. Karmic luck: plus 5. He looked at his hands and smiled. Now he could walk normally and do the basic functions that a human should be able to do. He would still attack with all the force of a fluffy pillow, and could tell that he wouldn't be able to carry anything extra, but he was still overjoyed at his apparent fitness. Feeling greatly pleased with his expenditure of characteristic points, Joe climbed into bed and allowed himself to drift off to sleep. The following morning, Joe awoke, feeling chipper and excited. It seemed that a healthy constitution also made it possible for him to sleep on his poor quality bed and still gain the well-rested bonus. He felt ready for the day, and Joe could hardly wait for the shops to open. Ignoring his wrinkled robes, Joe walked to the common area to scrounge up some coffee. Soon he would be able to test out a new ritual. Soon he would... At that moment, A-10 walked into the room and called for everyone's attention.
"Listen up, people! We have, as of this morning, become a noble guild!"
The calm early morning atmosphere shattered as everyone either whooped, called a question, or just excitedly began to chatter. A-10 waved his arms and shouted to regain the attention of the group.
"Today, unless you have a time-sensitive quest, I want everyone to stay in town and wait for myself and the guild officers to return. We have been invited to the castle to receive our first noble guild quest directly from the king and queen."
If the noise before had been excited, this was even more so. A few people begged for a promotion on the spot. A few were steaming mad that they didn't get to participate right away, but most were just happy for the guild.
"All current guild officers, I am going to need you to join me near the castle gates in about 2 hours. Everyone else, I hope you are as happy about this as I am, and I also hope that if you are disappointed, you work to prove yourself capable of being a guild officer. As our roster fills out, we will need more and more officers to lead parties of new recruits. Good luck, everyone, and great work so far."
With the end of the morning announcement, most people returned to whatever they were doing beforehand. Joe wavered between excitement and exasperation toward the news. He really wanted to go set up rituals and practice with them, honing and refining his craft. He wanted to go and study magic until he was an undisputed master. Joe's eye twitched, and he sighed as he thought through his options. Study and empowerment versus meeting royalty. Maybe he could... He gave up. The guild needed not only him, but all members, to continue getting quests and completing them for the guild.
Only too dramatic and defeated sighs later, Joe decided to compromise by going to collect all the materials he needed for his new rituals and set them up later. That way he could get the best of both worlds, if not in the order he wanted them. He had to be fast.